This is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Our guest today is George De Campos, Senior Pastor for God's Work in the Portuguese language. Welcome, George.
Thank you, Mr. Kubik.
George is going to talk today about the continuation of what we do in the work of God in Portuguese. We had spoken to him earlier about what he does in Brazil, but there's another country which speaks Portuguese, and that is Angola in Southwest Africa. And we have a very interesting phenomenon take place there, is that we have come into contact with thousands of people who have a belief structure very similar to ours, that have had a relationship or knowledge about us going back a couple of decades, possibly slightly more. But George, why don't you start and tell us about this very interesting development in Angola?
Thank you, Mr. Kubik. Well, let me go back to how they explained to me how it all started, because I asked questions from them. And in the early 80s, they were a small group, a Sunday-keeping group, and they realized they needed to keep the Sabbath purely by studying the Bible. They realized they keep the Sabbath, so they became a Sabbath-keeping group. There were a few of them that left them, but the majority of them realized they had to keep the Sabbath, which is interesting because in the Portuguese language, as many others, the word Saturday is Sabbath. There's no two words. There's not Saturday and Sabbath. There's only one word. But anyway, they over the course of time, during the next, let's call it, decade, they realized that they needed to do more than just keep the Sabbath. They needed to keep the Sabbaths, in other words, the annual holy days. And then they came across the plain truth. This was in the late 80s. And then they realized they needed, and they through the plain truth, they understood that it was more than just the holy days, was cleaning and clean meats and other things like that. And then they wanted to enter in contact with Worldwide Church of God, as it was at that time. So two of their elders, they gathered a little bit of money and they went from Angola south into what we call now Namibia. That time was Southwest Africa. And when they got to Namibia, they ran out of money. So, however, they managed to get in touch with a Worldwide Church of God member in northern Namibia. And that member helped them and took them to the post office. And then they sent a telegram to the church's office in Johannesburg. Then the officers there gave that telegram to me, because obviously I was a deacon at that time and I spoke Portuguese, and they asked me to contact these people, and I put them in contact with Pasadena. And then from there, towards 1995, they changed the name to Worldwide Church of God in Angola.
Well, I used to work in Pasadena, California at that time, and I remember that occurring from a distance. I saw this group contacting us and our international department and interest being taken. So it's interesting to fill this in as we talk about our relationship with them now.
Correct. Well, as I mentioned, they became Worldwide Church of God in Angola. Then a few months later, a year later, they got an instructive letter, or a ministerial letter, let's call it that, from Worldwide Church of God, telling them that they do not need to keep the Sabbath and observe the dietary restrictions of only eating clean foods. They looked at this and says, "No, come on, this is a joke," and they threw it away. And the bulk of them, the majority of them, stayed loyal to the truth. Subsequently, Worldwide Church of God told them they had to give up the name, that they had, and then they actually went to court in Angola, and they won the court case, and they kept, and they still hold, the name Worldwide Church of God in Angola. So they have done quite a lot of work towards keeping that name and legalizing it in the country. During the course of time, there was a gentleman that contacted them from Pasadena and visited them. And this gentleman, and I'm withholding the name as a respect to the individual, but this gentleman, according to what they told me, told them they were the only people in the world that remained faithful to God's truth. Basically, that was the understanding they got from this man, that there was nobody else around the world, and they in Angola were the remnant people. And so they kept being faithful for these, let's say, 20 years, believing that they were the only ones to keep these days. Now, in the course of time, last year, we improved the quality of our website, and some of the younger faithful brethren saw us on the web. They saw that stuff, our booklets, the fundamental beliefs. They gave them to the leadership. They studied them. And then this young man contacted me just after the feast this past year, 2015, saying, "We are surprised and excited that we are not the only ones, because we've studied all your 20 fundamental beliefs, and they're exactly what we believe. We exactly in line. Can we talk more?" And so we went, and now I hold Skype calls with them every week with their leadership. And what it ended up is, during my visit to Brazil, I then hopped across the pond, and it was the Southern Atlantic Ocean, and I went to visit them. And so we had leadership training. We met them. It was a very joyous time, and it was really exciting.
Well, that's an amazing story. What are you going to do as far as the future relationship that we have with them?
Well, they want to be more joined to us. My feeling, and I discuss it with the council, is that it's an engagement period. Let's not just get married before we really get to know one another. And they're very happy with that. They wrote a formal letter to us. We wrote a formal letter to them in reply. They're very happy with the relationship. It's all going well. When I was there, they had combined services in Luanda. They have four congregations in Luanda, and those four congregations gathered together in one of the areas they have, but because it was just too many people, we could not meet inside the hall. In fact, it was nearly 700 brethren that we got together.
Yes.
And they all wanted to shake hand with me. And indeed, I shook hand with every single one of them, man, woman, and child. And it was just a very, very moving experience.
Well, you know, it's incredible what has happened down there. These people who have the same fundamental beliefs as we do, our 20 fundamental beliefs, how did they come across, and how have they evangelized others to come to understand this? I mean, tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, basically, well, there's just one thing I want to interject here. These people have not asked me or United for 1 cent. They have not asked. In other words, to me, this is God's Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is so encouraging. But what they did ask is help with spiritual food. And I get very emotional with this. Just about to get tears, because when I was with them a number of times, they did things that was just very emotional. Like, for instance, one of their choirs, because of each congregation has their choir, and they dress beautifully. I'm telling you, this is people who have basically nothing. But they come to church dressed in suits and ties. The services are exactly like we have. Three songs, a sermonette, another song, announcements,
the whole thing.
Sermon, the whole thing, exactly like we do. It's so exciting. But during one of the choirs, part of the choir song, this young man said, "Yah is Elijah," describing as Elijah. And Elijah then went to the Lord and said, "The Lord, they've killed all the prophets. I'm the only one." And the Lord then replied to him, "Elijah, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 knees that have not bowed to Baal." And then they said, in the choir, in the song, obviously this all in Portuguese, so it's very moving. In the choir, in the song, they said, "We, Worldwide Church of God in Angola, we thought we were alone, but we're not, because we now meet United Church of God." Brethren, this is so moving. I had tears listening to that. And they did a choir song just to sing that while I was there. And I think that is so exciting. So to answer your question, how are they evangelizing? They really don't have a lot. So what they do is, it's like they set up in a town, maybe like there's a flea market or something like that, an area where you put a table, etc. They have some very simple pamphlets, a one-pager, and they train the young people, and I mean young people, I mean young 20-year-olds and things like that. And then on a Sunday, once a month, or when it's convenient to them, then they go to this area. These young people are there having a few pamphlets and addressing any questions that people have. And as such, then they grow. So that's their way of evangelizing. But they're using the young people, and the young people are committed. They know the truth, and they know how to defend the faith.
Well, it seems to be successful.
And it is successful, and God's blessing it.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Maybe we have something to learn from them.
Exactly. That's what I told them. You know, they said, "Oh, I'm learning so much from you, Mr. De Campos." And I said, "Yes, you've learned a lot from me, but I've learned even more from you." Because their spirit and their attitude is just, you can see it's God's spirit. You feel that affinity from day one.
Tell me more about the Good News Magazine and what we might be working with them. You had some thoughts about that?
Yes, I have had some thoughts about that. What I told them is they can use our literature freely, provided they respect editorial rights. They can take articles from us, they can republish them, they can do all that. But in discussions with them, in fact, maybe we should print the Good News there, like we currently print in Brazil. Maybe in the Good News at the back, where we have currently, for instance, the Brazil address, we would have published by United Church of God and distributed in Angola by Worldwide Church of God in Angola. And then their address and things like that. And this is just thoughts that I need to discuss with people. But then we could just send them the requests, and then they could mail them directly from there and print there and things like that. So they're just so excited with these sort of possibilities. I mean, they told me yesterday as well, and this is news to you, Mr. Kubik. They told me yesterday that they have a radio program there, the local Luanda radio program. They yesterday had discussions with the radio station. They want to give them opportunity to have a 30-minute national radio program in Angola.
Amazing. Amazing.
And they are obviously going to take it to their council, because they also very structured, very similar like us. Like they work with a council. They've got a council of ministers, and then based on what the council says, then they act according. Very similar to the way we do it, which is amazing. And so if the council approves, their desire is to walk through that door, which I think is exciting.
Well, tell us what our listeners should be praying about. I know that people pray for the work of God, so forth. Tell us what we should be praying for, George.
Well, they are basically two things that I usually pray, and particularly when I travel, I ask brethren to pray for these things. First one is godly love, that in whatever dealings we do with them, godly agape love is there in everything we do, that we treat them respectfully, that we love them, that everything is according to God's great love of grace and graciousness towards us that it's done that way. Secondly, pray that I have in all our dealings discernment with wisdom. All our words may come out with that approach. And that goes in with the concept of, as we hear in Peter, grow in grace and knowledge, because grace is through God's love and knowledge is through the using and applying things with the right wisdom. And so that is one angle. Then the other angle is the physical angle. I'm a one person. When I go there, I need to be in good health. I need to be protected. I need to be protected from whatever diseases and things like that. Now, my wife and I, we're going to go there again, God willing, in July. We've already booked the tickets and things like that. So we're planning to go there. And so those are the things we can pray, that we have exhibit the right love, exhibit that God gives us the right discernment, and that God gives us the health to do His work and to serve His people around the world.
Well, that's very, very interesting. I'm glad you're going over in July, which is not far off, and we're looking forward to hearing update report, because this is big news for us.
Yeah,
we have been all very, very interested because of the scale of our working with them and also the unusual relationship.
No, it's very encouraging. Really, my heart is just melting. These are lovely people. Really, they are lovely people. It's mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling. It really is God's spirit. And you can't believe that there are these people living for all these years by themselves, but it's the same spirit. And that is so encouraging.
Well, thank you very much. And George, send greetings to the people from all of us here at the Home Office.
Well, thank you so much for mentioning that, because they, in fact, yesterday mentioned to me exactly the same thing. Please give our greetings to all the brethren around the world. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Well, I guess you could give greetings to them before you go, because you Skype with them weekly.
Correct, yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today, George.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for joining us on Inside United. Please come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.